Okay, we're going to call the meeting to order, and prior to the moment of silence, I do need to announce we had, prior to the meeting, we had an executive session for a legal matter and also a student issue. And at this time, then, Dr. Hollister will lead us in a moment of silence and the pledge.
Bow your head for a moment of silence.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have the agenda posted here. Are there any modifications to the agenda this evening? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Second.
Was that Brian? And then Tom, second. Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The agenda is approved for this evening. Student of the Month presentation.
Yes, I am going to do the presenting
okay.
This evening. Dr. Snanger could not be here this evening. So the first student that we are honoring this evening is Grace McCarty. And Grace is the daughter of Tim and Tony McCarty of New Holland, PA. She is enrolled in several honors courses, including Honors English, Honors History, and Honors Algebra 2. She is involved in student council. She is the class treasurer and an FFA member. Grace enjoys playing field hockey and horseback riding, and she hopes to pursue a career with animals in the agricultural field. Congratulations, Grace.
Congratulations.
Nice job.
Our next honoree is Zoe Weir, and she is the daughter of Jamie and Lisa Weir of East Earl, PA. She is enrolled in several honors courses as well, including Honors English and Honors History. She is involved in CFC Youth Group, Health Council, GSPA, and Yearbook. She has lettered in cheerleading and enjoys color guard and being on the swim team. Zoe and her family have started a Relay for Life team due to many family members being affected by cancer, and she hopes to pursue a career in the medical field after graduation. Congratulations, Zoe. Our next honoree is Madeline Sasso. And Madeline is the daughter of Michael Sasso of Narvon and Stacy Trago Clayton of Morgantown, PA. She is enrolled in Honors Chemistry and completed Honors Geometry last year. She is the treasurer of her class and sentinel of the Grasslyn FFA. Madeline enjoys cheerleading, volunteering to clean fire trucks and police cars, and hopes to become a large animal vet. Congratulations, Madeline.
Congratulations.
And our final honoree this evening is Alexander Diedrich. He is not here this evening. He could not make it. He is the son of Cindy Good and Kurt Diedrich of Narvon, PA. During Alex's high school career, he has been enrolled in several AP and honors courses, including Honors English, Honors Geometry, Honors Chemistry, AP Psych, and AP Environmental Science. He is involved in the student council and enjoys playing on the football team. So congratulations to Alexander as well.
So just I want to lend my thanks to the students and their families. We are recognizing you. This comes from your teachers and your administrators, and it's a sort of a two-sided coin. While tonight we're celebrating all that you've accomplished, and we are appreciative of all of that, we also have a message for you that this doesn't mean you stop. In fact, just the opposite. We're saying to you, you're a leader by example, at least a leader by example, and we need you to keep doing that. You need to keep stepping up and keep working as hard as you obviously have worked. So from the superintendent's office, you have my deepest appreciation for the hard work that you do, especially in difficult times when there's a lot of stressors on our young learners. You've chosen time and time again and made good choices, so thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Hollister. And any other board members, questions or comments? It's always good to see the FFA well represented again. Tom and I like to see that. And but the guys got to step it up a little here. The girls are showing them up. So, all right. We have now time set aside for residents of the school district. We do have Mr. Brian Hauer would like to address the board this evening. So if you would come to the microphone, you have the floor.
Good evening, board. First of all, I want to thank everyone for their service. I especially want to take some time. I know you got one more meeting, but I want to thank Glenn and Melissa Redmond for their time on the board. And as you move on, you just want to know that you appreciated your work here and know that it's not always, it's a thankless job sometimes, but I appreciate the work that you've done.
Thank you.
And so I'm here. As most of you know, I'm a legislative geek and keeping an eye on what affects our schools. And recently I was at something and found out in 2016 we had the fair funding formula created. And it's great. It makes it a little fairer. But the compromise they made was it's only on new money. And so it's not 100% of all the money. So everything from 2016 back stays the same, and then it's all new money. Unfortunately, that leaves almost $63 million on the table for the county schools. And for us, that leaves $2.1 million that we do not receive because of this unfair funding. We have a fair funding formula, but it's still unfair. So it's kind of an oxymoron. But what I want us to let you know is there is a House bill being proposed to propose for 100% funding on all money. And it's House Bill 961. And I want to apologize. I'm going to send all of you this. I didn't get a chance. I left it at home and then didn't get a chance to make copies of it. But I will get you a PDF of this, some of the information in an email tomorrow. But so for us, it's 2.1 million more that we would receive. And it's House Bill 961. And I would encourage us to get a hold of our Representative Zimmerman and see if he could maybe be a sponsor to encourage that. And that's $2 million that is on the table that we could use for projects here. We're looking at all-day kindergarten. It could hire teachers to maybe do that in a different manner and maybe have class sizes smaller. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention. And also, I don't know, I'm sure you saw it, Ms. Dr. Hollister, that the House bill that goes with our teacher evaluation bill was passed in the committee today, 21-4. So that's even going to help not only make things fair, but take poverty into consideration and a lot of other things. So just want to bring that to your consideration and encourage you to contact your legislator, and I will make sure all of you get a copy of this tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Any questions on any board member have any questions on anything? I was familiar somewhat with that legislation. We had reviewed it as well at a meeting I was at the other week, but it's always good to take a good look at that because I'm not sure what the potential is for it. So, okay. We have the consent agenda. So I'll need a motion to approve.
So moved.
And a second. Okay, that was Gary. Any discussion, comments, or questions on the consent agenda? We have is there anybody to introduce? Okay. Sometimes we have, in the personnel section, we have new people to introduce, but not this evening. So hearing no other questions or comments, we'll call for the vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The consent agenda for this evening has passed. We didn't have any separate action items, so we'll move into reports. The Lancaster County Tax Collection Bureau, Mr. Ramsey.
Thank you, Mr. President. We did meet last week, and the primary focus of the meeting was to, one, hear the SOC report, which is basically a independent review of the controls in the Bureau, and they test from everywhere from start to finish, money coming in, all the way through money coming out, being distributed to the municipalities and school districts. I'm happy to report that there was no changes in controls from last year to this year. And again, they continue to receive no findings and are highly regarded for their controls that they have in place, which is great to hear. The second part of the meeting was to go over the budget. They are proposing to decrease their costs from 1.9% to 1.7. So they, again, less than 2 cents on every dollar is being returned to us. We also approved to, again, this year, to waive the fees, the collection fees for October, November, December. With that being waived, 2019 estimated collection cost is 1.45%. So again, they did decrease from 1.9 to 1.7, and hopefully at the end of the year we'll be able to waive another month or two to get us down. Just looking at the fees, the rate history, in 2015 they were at 1.77%, and they've gone down to most recently 2019 at 1.45%. So they continue to do an outstanding job, and they are also looking to continue to add additional school districts beyond the four that they have right now on the real estate tax collection piece. So that's all I have. That's my report.
Okay, thank you for that. I apologize. I usually, when we have citizens comment, open it, also ask if there was anyone else who wished to address the board, and I think I had missed someone here. So did we have someone else who wanted to address the board this evening? Okay, if you would come to the microphone and just state your name and where you reside, and you have the floor there.
I'm Abigail Benedict, and I'm here to pray for the board. I'm from East Earl. Lord, I just thank you for this evening, for each and every one of the men and women who've come out tonight to support our community and make decisions for our school and our community, Lord. I thank you for the impact they have. Lord, I just guide their decisions tonight. Lord, that they'd be, you would be here in their presence. And Lord, I just thank you for your grace and your mercy. Guide actions and the words that are said tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for that. Okay, then were there any, I didn't ask, were there any questions on the LCTCB report? Okay. Then Lancaster Lebanon IU 13, Mr. Irvin.
The Lancaster Lebanon IU board met on November 13th. The meeting highlight was we said goodbye to four board members who were completing their service on the IU 13 board and their home boards. We approved $15.487 million of invoices for payment. Business services, we approved three new contracts. And for business services, PATAN, which is run by the IU for the state out of Harrisburg, 69 new contracts were approved. Instructional services, technology services, which is the two of them together, were five new contracts. And under human resources, we have dramatically raised the rate that we are paying the classroom assistants and personal care assistants to try and alleviate the openings that we have, the amount of openings that we have, and we've now got that down to 40 openings by raising the hourly rates. And we had seven employees resigned, one employee was terminated, four retired, hired 57 new employees, had a 28 change of position or salary, and granted six leave of absences. And I gave each of the board and board members and administrators the helping districts help students. And if anyone has any questions, I will either answer that now or get back to you with the answer to the question that you would have.
This may be putting you on the spot here, but I know we've had a little more with our school district having to send out students to the IU 13. Is that kind of a trend? Has they seen an increase, the IU, and more students coming back? Or
since the economy has improved in the past 3 years, we have added classrooms each year. And most of those classrooms are for the students that would fall within the parameters of the students that we had sent out.
Okay. Thank you for that. I was just curious if it was kind of a district or, IU-wide type of a thing. So.
And again, half of the students at the IU main office have either a parole officer or they're on probation.
Mm. Wow.
So it's a tough job for the personal care assistants, the teachers, and
contributes
not a lot of tough days.
Contributes to the turnover that you have there. Any other questions or comments on the IU 13? Okay, well, thank you again for your service on that board. Lancaster CTC, Mrs. Redman.
The JOC meeting was held on October 24th. One of the first things I would like to highlight is that one of the October Students of the Month from Brownstown was an Elanco student, Tyler Stauffer. He's in the cabinet-making wood technology program. He's currently, or will soon be, when he moves to it, and I don't know if he already has or not, he will be in a co-op situation in a cabinet shop in New Holland. I don't know exactly when that program starts. Presentation from his teacher said, he's there early, he stays late, he's one of the shop foremans, he has a great attitude and a great work ethic, so they really believe that he's going to go far because he's willing to do what it takes to get the job done. The other thing I'd like to highlight is the presentation for the evening. The presentation was made by Amber Krieger. Now, she's the Director of Higher and Continuing Education. The presentation highlighted the dental hygiene program, which was just started about a year and a half ago. It's an associate degree program. It provides 90 credits, and it takes 22 months. There are 15 spots in the program, and currently they are all full. Five of those are CTC students that completed the secondary program, which is the high school program, the dental assistant program. Now, it gets a little confusing, but the dental assistant program, which is the high school program, is 1,080 hours. And what you graduate with is the ability to be a dental assistant. The dental hygiene program is the associate degree program where you are coming out to be a dental hygienist, which is the next step up kind of thing. one of the great things about our program, the program the CTC has created, the dental hygiene, the associate degree program. She did a whole presentation on why us? Why do people want to come to our particular program? Well, there's a variety of reasons. One of the things is that where the location is. There's a program in Harrisburg. There's a program somewhere in Berks County, but they're not real local to this general area, to Lancaster County. So it's a nice location. One of the really great things is that the clinical is done on site. because they have a dental clinic, right? I believe it's the Mountjoy campus or the Willow Street campus. I'm so sorry. They are looking for, she did a little advertisement, they are looking for patients for that. Patients need to be 18 years of age or older, and a dentist oversees all of the student work, so there are dentists on site at the clinic. Most procedures cost about $50, and they take whatever insurance, generally most of the insurances. So that was the commercial for the evening. The program requires 1,120 hours in the clinic to work to get the degree. So there are lots of students and lots of hours. There are 15 students, all of whom need more than 1,000 hours. So you can imagine they need patients. So that the on-site clinical training is very popular. You don't have to travel out to other sites to get that. And one of the big things is that you can transfer credits in, and the credits are transferable out. So that's why one of the program is so popular. They've thought about expansion. One of the biggest things with that is that it needs to be a 5-to-1 ratio, 5 students to 1 teacher, so that space and increasing at the right rate would be what is important for that. As I said, right now all of the spaces are full. The next class will be the 2020-2021 class, and again, of course, there are 15 spaces. They've already received 45 applications. Now, that doesn't mean that all of those applications are complete. The completed packets are due by March 1st. So what they have completed, then what they do is they have a whole rubric, and they will take all the ones that are completed, and they will score them through the rubric. The top 15 will be offered spaces, and everybody else will go on a wait list. Amber said that never have they had everybody complete the packet. So while it's great that they have 45 applications, they really don't expect to have 45 completed by the time March 1st gets here. But it was very, very interesting. There are so many, and I say this every month, I know, but there are so many great things going on with the CTC, both the secondary program and the post-secondary. Dr. Savin, this is his second year as the executive director. He is really trying to work on ways, not even ways to up the enrollment, which, yes, it will, but ways to get more students involved, to help more students through the program. Not just to fill seats for the sake of saying, oh, look, we're full, but to fill the empty seats to say, oh, look, we can help these students. We can move these students into a pathway that will provide a living wage, will provide a career for them. So I'm really impressed with the way he's come in and done some things. I know he shares very much with the superintendents. He's part of, there's initials that go with your meeting, but I'm not sure what they are. But he's very, and so he is very on board with trying to make the programs accessible and useful and practical. So there's a lot of great things going on there. So I applaud that again. And I applaud what our students are doing. I think it's great that Tyler is excelling at what he's chosen. So, and that is my report.
Thank you. Do you know, or maybe Dr. Larkin, what the dental hygienist program per credit hour, any idea what that runs? I'm sure it's very reasonable compared to another college degree. So any questions or comments on the CTC? I just want to comment and thank you again, Melissa, for serving all these years. I know, I think I put you on the spot when you got elected to the board, and I said, hey, would you consider going to be our representative on the CTC? And you've been
the first meeting over till like 11:15.
And you've been when you were replacing Deb Reimers, she was always gave these reports and was and was, you know, enthusiastic, and you've just taken over and have done the same thing. So I don't know if it's a CTC just really brings that out to people that
there
it's
are a
yeah
lot of wonderful
yeah
things going
so
on.
But I really really appreciate you serving and your reports and your enthusiasm for the program, and someone will have to pick up that and run with it. So that's my plug for that. So thank you again. Yeah. All right. Legislative, Mr. Wenzel.
Yes, I'd like to thank Brian for his contributions for the legislative report tonight. I want to bring forward about House Bill 1800. It's a voucher program for the Harrisburg School District, which is in state, which went into state receivership in June, and it was estimated the cost for the school district of Harrisburg will be somewhere between 5.5 and 8.5 million. Representative Tercel of Allegheny County is the one is the sponsor of that, but it will set a precedent for other school districts going forward, and that is a big concern. Of mine. I don't know whether Dr. Hollister, you'd like to comment on that.
I was at a meeting last week with PASA Board of Governors, and we talked specifically about this. While it's identified as Harrisburg, it includes a whole host of other school districts already. It's not just Harrisburg. It would include Reading. It would include a district, Scranton. It would include some smaller urban school districts as well. I think it is a dangerous precedent to go down that road. Harrisburg is in receivership, and all the reports that I've gotten so far, and it's pretty early, is that they're making some progress there. Much like our team did at Columbia, much smaller scale, but with the right help and right leadership, we can turn some of these urban centers around rather than throw a lot of money at private schools using public funds.
Okay, thank you. The other one I have is there are currently three pension reform bills that are making their way out of the House State Government Committee and will be considered by the full chamber in Harrisburg later this month. As all of us know in the board, and some of you in the audience know, this is going to continue to be an ongoing concern with the pension program. So it's something we have to keep our eye on as those bills come forward. The last one I have was, as I stated last month, revenue to the state continues to far, far exceed the estimates that were projected, I guess, back in February or March, and it's across the board. It's income tax revenue coming. It's liquid fuel taxes that are coming in, and that'll be interesting to see. The key will be once we get past the first of the year, or probably, I guess, in December, actually, the state house will be start working on their budget for the coming year, and to see how this revenue is going to be, how they're going to utilize that revenue, whether I'm put some away, and how are they going to put more toward education or other areas. So it's another area where we have to stay in contact with our state legislators and make sure that it's used in the proper way. If there's nothing else, that concludes my report.
Thank you. Any questions or comments on the legislative report or legislative matters? Contact your representative. I don't know if there's a companion bill for 1800 within the Senate, but certainly Senator Almet has very up on education, so reaching out to him as well would be good, because there's probably would be something percolating in the Senate as well. So. All right, moving on then to the superintendent's report.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a number of items. Number one, board members, just a reminder, we do have a series of policies for review that we'll take action on next month. If going through those, you have questions, get them to me ahead of time if you can, please. That way I can have answers for you here in public. Again, it's a standard review. There's not a lot of significant content changes. The review is based on recommendations from the Pennsylvania School Board Association. I did want to note, if you haven't heard officially, our ladies volleyball team did bow out the quarterfinals down at Spring Ford School District, but congratulations to a phenomenal run. Really, to couple that, I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but those ladies have had three different coaches in 4 years. So there's been a lot of turnover there, too. So they really have held themselves together and should be complimented for that. And also great sportsmanship, too. We get a lot of compliments for our teams on that, and they were no exception. So congratulations to the young ladies. A little bit of history here. Mr. Wenzel, you're the sort of the self-appointed somewhat historian, so we'll see if you know any of these things. We had a donation of a school bell to Brecknock, a gentleman by the name of Jack Brain. I do not know him. Tom, he's up your way, I think, or your old way when you were up there before. The gentleman donated the bell that was from the original Silver Hill School.
Near the quarry. There's a quarry out there.
So it was one of the remotest regions of the township at the time, not far from Cave Rocks, where all the underhanded activity used to take place, supposedly, allegedly. But Mr. Brain redid the bell and donated it. We have pictures, and Justin was out to document that. Unfortunately, I couldn't be there. We, at that time, we were running the canine units through the high school, so I couldn't slip away for that. But it looks great, sitting right in the lobby. We're going to build a nice a holder for it at some point. But it's always nice to have a little bit of history just to literally touch and to remind us where we've come from. So Silver Hill School will be represented at the new Brecknock School. Mr. Brain had a lot of information to share about his time. He said when he started at Brecknock, he was one of the first students that was to attend in 1959 is when Brecknock opened, and he was one of the first students there. So it was fun to see a little bit of history, and obviously Mr. Brain's proud of his time here. The next item I have, I don't know if anyone caught it, about 2 weeks ago in the Lancaster newspaper, a number of our students had articles, persuasive pieces written, obviously a part of a class. Miss Martin and the high school is doing some persuasive writing, and our students had a whole lot published, and it was well done. Whether you agree or with their opinions or not, I think they supported their positions very well, so some good learning going on. And congratulations to those students. The names of those students, by the way, Anna Ambrister, Melissa Atanzio, Madeline Sasso, who you met this evening, Sophia Gee, and Todd Troop. Another student I want to recognize. Again, we continue to try to find ways to win for our students, one student at a time. We have this idea that every starfish, it matters to this one, the one that you help. So Kyle Robbins is a student at our high school. Recently accepted into the ABC Keystone pre-apprenticeship program, and now the hard work begins for him. But these are some of our, in some cases, at-risk students, in some cases students who missed the opportunity to go to CTC, and we're continuing to find ways to credential them and give them certifications so they can go into employment of a trade of choice as opposed to walking out of our high school and saying, what am I going to do now? And again, compliments to the team of teachers who are rallying around these particular students. These are the students who really truly fell through the cracks in previous years, the ones that didn't go to CTC, didn't have a plan to go to a two-year or four-year college, and we are now linking them up with credentialed jobs. So congratulations mostly to Kyle for his hard work, but also to the teaching staff for supporting him. 2 weeks ago, I had mentioned that we had hosted the district honors course, District 7, I believe it is. I wanted to publicly announce the students from this school district who participated so that their names could be entered into our records. Madison Horst played the flute, Isabella Campbell was the clarinet, Emily Myers clarinet, Evan Brace was the trumpet, Christopher Mitchell French horn, Brandon Chapman trombone, Seth Lance trombone, Jocelyn Summers clarinet, Jordan Ruiz Diaz, clarinet, Lindsay Zimmerman, bass clarinet, Brooke Zimmerman, bass clarinet, Ethan Souter, alto sax, Elena Zimmerman, tenor sax, Cecilia Stolzfus, trumpet, Meredith Good, French horn, Bryce Floyd, trombone, and Logan Stauffer, percussion. Again, I just wanted those names entered into our record. Congratulations to those students. Having a student who supposedly is doing music, and I know that she doesn't practice. These students clearly do practice. That's how they get there. I mentioned my daughter during the event when I greeted these students, and it was kind of ironic. The last thing I said to her Saturday afternoon before I left was, get out your instrument and practice, and her answer was no. So we had to address that when I got home because I didn't have time. It was ironic that I was going to a place where students clearly who had practiced were doing their job. So congratulations to those students for their efforts. Jeff, can you bring up that chart then, please, for me? So I had Mr. Johnson pull this together for me. I gave him the data, and he made exceeded my expectations in the graphic that he designed. So compliments to Justin. I appreciate that. This was inspired by an article that was in the Lancaster newspaper several weeks ago now, highlighting the Keystone scores. I have the article here just out of curiosity if anyone wants to see it. What I did is I went through the chart and I took a highlighter and highlighted all of the schools that scored lower than we did in terms of achievement on the Keystone exams. And not to disparage any of those schools, that's why I didn't list them. That's the first column. I just listed the ranking of the school districts here in this county. And you can see that Elanco did very well. We came in fourth behind Lampeter-Strasburg, Manheim Township, and Hempfield in terms of our aggregate scores. Now, this is a sort of a high view of our performance. And as we've said many times, Keystone exams, PSSA exams, that's first base on the way to a home run. Many of the things that I talked about here moments ago are that second, third base, and home run. But first base is important, too. We need to hit first base. And so in the past, we've often talked about our growth and that we're gaining on it, so to speak. And I'm here to say now that we're there, or close to being there. We're right behind those school districts. And when you start looking at some of the other information I've placed up there, in the next column, I have kindergarten readiness. And again, that's an accurate graphic representation of where our school district falls in terms of kindergarten readiness and where those other school districts fall. So in the second chart, again, I didn't want to call out other school districts, in part because this is really an internal document for our schools in the county, so we have some idea of where we stand. It's really not something that we publish, so to speak, but it's a tool that we use. But in that particular scale, you can see that we fall all the way down to the bottom of the scale. There's actually only one school district lower than us. We're down there at 12% and tied with Columbia Borough School District at that number. So I think that starts to paint a little bit of a picture. Again, this is a large view. If I would equate this to, you know, a physical exam, so to speak, this would be the basics. This would be your blood pressure, your weight, and some of those things. But I think it's worth noting that even though our kindergarten readiness has been pretty low the last several years, we've continued to bounce along the bottom, despite our efforts to improve that, and we have additional plans to do so. Despite our efforts, our students are coming out on top when they get up to the senior high school, and I give everyone credit for that. That's not the high school. That's not the elementary school. That's from the bus drivers on through, the bus drivers who greet the kids and check on them every day, and the bus drivers who drop them off at the end of the day every day, and all the people that come in contact with our learners in the system during the day. That says to me that we're really doing well. We're catching kids up in the time that they're here. So congratulations to everyone in American Education Week. I think it's appropriate to include everyone who really, in one way or another, affects students' lives here. Then I sort of took the achievement piece and I matched that up a little bit to the business side. As you all know, we will be debt-free inside of 2 years in terms of our capital expenses, even with the expenses that we have outlined for you for the locker room renovations, for the heating and ventilation that we need to do throughout the secondary campus, with the tennis courts that we are planning to move. Even with those projects, we still will continue to remain debt-free. here inside of 2 years, which is about a $2.5 million structural surplus. But what I also wanted to point out, and I had mentioned this previously when we were talking about the renovations, I think it's interesting to see where school districts rank, and I intentionally didn't put the numbers beside Lampeter, Strasburg, and Manham Township and Hempfield, because, I didn't want to call them out specifically. What I wanted to highlight is that our spending efforts are on equalized mills in this school district, we're ranked at 15%. That means the way to interpret that is only 14% of the schools in the Commonwealth, in the entire state, excise less taxes than we do. And so when you start painting that picture, the business side, up against the achievement, I think we're a pretty good deal for our learners and for our community members when you consider that, and that the graphic is proportionally represented correctly. So Lampeter, Strasburg, Manham Township, Hempfield are somewhere in the 50s approximately. And then the last piece that I think is important to note is our poverty rate compared to the others. We're at 44%. And Manham Township and Lampeter, Strasburg, and Hempfield have significant less issues with poverty. Hempfield's probably, well, it is the closest, but still it's a 9-point difference. If you do any research on the effects of poverty and learning, it is a direct connection. The more poverty you have, the less success you have, and the more difficult it is to have success. So during American Education Week, I thought it was nice to sort of pull all those pieces together on one slide for the board, for the community, just to demonstrate, I think, that we, while there's plenty of work to do, and we continue to revise and push forward and change and adjust, I think there's a lot to celebrate there, both on the academic side as well as the business side of the operation. Any questions on that graphic? Again, I was trying not to call out any school districts, but everything is proportionally represented. And again, I want to thank Mr. Justin Johnson for pulling together my crazy thoughts in something that made sense. So thank you. If there's no questions, and I have just one other thing. So just it's that season where we have a lot going on, a lot of sort of the mid-year fruition of a lot of students' efforts. So I do want to just make a few announcements. GSPA has its show coming up this weekend, November 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. The elementary middle school holiday concert's coming up on December 9th. We have an elementary orchestra concert on December 10th. We have the elementary band concert on December 12th. And we have a holiday band concert on December 16th, which is also a school board meeting night. If we can move through that quickly, we can all slide over to the concert afterwards. So it's a great time of the year. It's one of those fun times to be a superintendent when you get to go to some of these things and enjoy the music at many folks' favorite time of year. So let's try to get out to see some of that. Our students work very hard, as do our teachers, to put those programs together for you. And that does conclude my report. Just one announcement that we do need to have an executive session for a personnel matter after this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Hollister, any questions or comments on this superintendent's report? Okay, we'll open up for any other announcements or comments by board members.
Yes, I'd like to make a comment with two fine board members that will be leaving the board, I guess officially tonight's your last meeting, but you'll be back in December. I just want to say, Melissa, for quite a few years, I was anchored down at the other end of the table there, Sadia, and you were the recipient of, I know I probably drove the other board members that sat to my left and right over the years I've been on, just little side comments and distracting them and things like that, you know, some things will never change, I guess. But I just want to say, I appreciate your service to this board. I just wanted to say I was looking forward to you. As you know, we had during those little conversations about what was going to happen with kindergarten, you know, we were talking about our concerns, positive and negatively, that we go forward. I just want to say if you feel the need, I'm on my phone or want to contact me anyway going forward, if with any info you want to relay, I'd be greatly appreciated for the board. And we hope you will stay involved in keeping us in line. And for Glenn, 10 years. 10 years, and you know who you beat 10 years ago to get the... Yeah. And Glenn beat me out 10 years ago for board president by one vote. So, but I don't like to lose, but I won't.
Yeah.
Lose.
Yeah, he's almost
over, Glenn.
Yeah. Almost over. But seriously, we faced many challenges during those 10 years in the board. Helped us navigate through those turbulent waters, and we've come out a better district through it. And I know going forward, the knowledge that you have learned, the things that you have helped this district with, will serve you well in whatever pursuits you go forward from this, and that will benefit the community if you get the opportunity to pursue those interests. And I just want to say thank you once again.
Thank you. Any other comments or?
Just for the record, Melissa did ask to have you move, Tom. I wasn't supposed to. I wasn't supposed
that
to tell.
That was a real like reason okay behind now. It. Okay. Yeah, and I just wanted to thank everyone too for the support over the years, and certainly Tom. We would have been well served with Tom as well, and it's one of those things where you know. Board members voted, and we had, you know, good options there either way. And I think certainly Tom has been a very faithful, long-serving board member and has contributed a lot. And I've been blessed to have served with everyone that I've served with has been, you know, really committed board members. You know, sometimes people say that, it's a thankless job, and it's really not. You know, every year I always, the highlight for me was graduation when see all those kids. And thought back, I've been on the board 12 years, 10 as president. So the students who were going into kindergarten the year I got elected are now the seniors this year, which kind of puts it in perspective how quickly. And over that time, we probably have graduated several thousand students, I guess, 275 each year average. So. That's a lot of you know students that went through here and I got to hand them their diplomas and there were a lot of other rewards as well, but I do thank everyone for their support. So if there's no other comments, we have the motion. We would need a motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn the meeting.
And is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. We are adjourned.